Hey there, so glad that you were here. I'm Priscilla. Welcome to the chat. We get an opportunity to chat about a lot of stuff around here that's going to be hopefully very, very exciting to you. I think today is going to be very exciting. If it's not exciting for you, it's exciting for me. I'm glad to be here because we get to talk to one of my favorite people on the planet. And let me just tell you, she's not only my favorite because she has brought so much light and love and beauty through music to millions of people all over the entire world. She's beautiful because behind closed doors, when the spotlights aren't on her, she's just a woman of humility and integrity who loves her family and loves the Lord and really believes what she proclaims when a lot of people are around. That's what I love about CeCe Wyman. Today we're going to be talking to her. Stick around. You are not going to want to miss this. It is going to be a great day. It's a good day for you to be here because we are talking to one of my favorite people in the world. Her name is Miss CeCe, and she's come to join us to talk about just some things that are important to us that she can offer us some wisdom on. And then we're also going to talk about some things that are important to her. And so it's all going to happen today while you're here, which is why you want to stay tuned. So please help me welcome CeCe Winans.
Hi. Lady.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too. I want to make sure I get on my spot.
Yes. Okay, so can I tell people your real name? Because I happen to like your name so much.
Yes, I happen to love yours. Yes, you can go right ahead and tell them my real name.
Real name is Priscilla Love.
That's right. Priscilla Marie Love.
Oh.
Yes.
Straighten
yes.
it up.
Yes. Beautiful name that I don't get to hear.
You don't get
a
to
lot.
Hear it that often.
Yeah.
Well, I hear it enough for both of us.
How That's about right.
That? Okay. I want to know what it's like to walk around with that voice in your head all the time.
Oh,
and just act
Lord.
Like everything is normal.
Oh, please. Oh, please. What is that? I don't think I've ever heard it put that way, Priscilla. Well, you know, it's a blessing to have a gift that God has given you to bring people closer to Him,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm just a normal person with a voice, that's all.
How old were you when you realized you had, did someone else point out to you that you had this gift, or did you figure it out?
My parents pointed it out to me.
They did.
Yes, yes. I was forced to sing.
You had no choice?
No, I'm serious. I had no choice. You know, it was back then when you didn't have a choice.
Uh-huh.
You know, new parents nowadays, they give their children choices.
Maybe we need to talk about that today.
But,
so your parents said you're
going to
sing.
You're going to sing, and okay. you're going to lead this song. And my first song that I led was Fill My Cup, Lord. And I
Which
was probably about 8 years
as
old.
As an adult, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought since I was an adult, it would be good for me to sing it without crying. Because for the first few years, you know, it was during a conference that they would do every year. Back then, they called it convocation.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I had to sing Fill My Cup, Lord. And all my friends my age knew the point that I would break down and cry. It happened every year. But they saw the gift in me, and they kept pushing me. And probably a few years in, I realized that it was more than just a gift to sing, but God had anointed me to do something that was special.
Ah.
You know?
Were you ever resentful of the push by your parents? Did you ever just resent ministry or resent singing or just all that? Because your whole family, you were so inundated and surrounded by it all the time.
Right, right. No, I was probably resentful at the time,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
at eight, you know, because
yeah.
I just didn't want to do it. But no. I found out very soon on that this is where I was supposed to be.
Now, why did you not want to do it, though? What did you want to do?
Well, I mean, I was very comfortable in singing in the background. I always
loved
singing.
So you liked the background?
Yeah, the background. The choir was fine. I never liked being up front. Like, sitting up here with you now, I would just never thought I would do this.
Okay, so people would find that hard to believe, that standing on a stage for you, is it still difficult to this
no,
day?
No, it's not difficult
it's
now.
It's not difficult.
I mean, I still get a little nervous before I start, but I think that's good for anybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm
mm-hmm.
always praying and depending on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love being in the background. I don't ever have to be out front, ever.
And you're just happy that way?
I'm so happy that way. I could stay at home. I could be at my in my church choir. I could just be a mom and a wife, and I'm happy. Yeah. But God had other plans.
Did you find that you had to kind of really adjust your desires and adjust your willingness to go with God in the direction you saw him leading you? In other words, would you have been, did it require a lot for you to kind of go, okay, Lord, I'm going to go against what I really want, which is to stay at home and just do the wife and mom thing in a regular traditional way. Mm-hmm. And I'm really going to have to surrender, yield to you in order to go with what I see you charting out as the path for me.
No, it really wasn't difficult. It okay. wasn't difficult, again, because I started so early on. Mm-hmm. By the time I was 16, I was singing and going everywhere, doing different things. 17, I was a part of a PTL, Christian network. Only thing I had to do was really just, like you said, surrender, but surrender in a way that that I gave God everything so that I could be used, so that he could use me to the maximum every time I stood before his people. Earlier on, because I saw the anointing, I saw people's lives being changed, and I realized, I think for everybody, when you really find where you're supposed to be, then that becomes home for you, even if it's not what you want to do. You know, even if it's not your most comfortable place, you know, I'm not going to be happy doing anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, this mm-hmm. is my calling. This is what I was, this is my purpose. This is why I was born. Mm-hmm. God had this in mind for me before I was formed in my mother's womb. And so I've always had that peace, doing this. And so it's just the ongoing decisions that you have to make. Yeah. You know how it is to live in the airport, living out of a suitcase. You know, it's those everyday small sacrifices that yes. people don't really see that no. goes along with what we do.
Yes. And you mentioned your family, and I want to talk about your family because that is, I think, what a lot of women don't get to hear about as much from you mm-hmm. that they want to know about. They want to know how in the world are you balanced? Because, you know, us normal folk can barely balance figuring out what's for dinner every night. That's like a major exercise for us is trying to figure out what am I going to cook for dinner and how right. I'm going to get the laundry done right. and balance if I'm working outside the home and balance that. Mm-hmm. So how have you been able to keep your family a priority? How have you struggled along the way to bring balance to your life mm-hmm. as a working mom?
Well, it's not a one-word answer to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, come on, give it to us. We'll take all of it. We'll take
okay,
all the wisdom
okay.
you got.
Well, the first answer is, you already said it, that your family has to be priority. It has to be first. Mm-hmm. And if that's really settled in your mind and heart, and you never get that twisted, then you're going to be okay. You know, because God... I am a wife and a mother first. That is my first calling. And so anything that jeopardizes that has to go. You know, you can't even contemplate it. You know, I have a wonderful husband who has supported me down through the years. We'll be married. We're married 29 years this year. It'll be 30 years next year.
Wow.
Working on 30 years. And he's always been there for me 200%. You know, he recognized the call on my life. He knew that I didn't want to do it. I only did it because it was a call. Uh-huh. And so he has always been there to support me. And without that, there's no way I could have accomplished what I've accomplished.
And what does that look like when you say your husband's been there to support you? Because, you know, traditionally speaking, it's okay. this setting where the husband's supposed to be supported by his wife
right.
In a traditional sense.
Right.
So what does it look like when... You know, for many wives that are in their home, I'm not saying this is your situation, but for many wives, you know, they both maybe work outside of the home, but maybe the wife makes more money or she's gotten a promotion that he hasn't gotten or mm-hmm. her career has taken off and his hasn't, you know, just in the regular corporate world.
Right.
And so there are many women struggling because maybe their husbands are feeling a little displaced by the fact that they're, mm-hmm. yeah, or intimidated by mm-hmm. the fact that their wife is successful mm-hmm. in a particular area of her life. So how did were you able to balance that?
You have a lot of questions.
I do have a lot of questions.
They're not simple questions.
No,
they're very
no.
complex questions.
I know.
But they're good questions because it's different levels. First
yeah.
of all, Alvin Love is his name. When he told me his name was Love, I was like, yeah, right. Sure it is.
You have a very handsome husband, by the way.
Yes, I think he's really cute.
Yes,
he gets
he's
cuter
cute.
Every year. He gets older. Why is that with men? They get older and get cuter. I'm like, what is up with this? They can have the gray show and they look distinguished.
And he
we
does look
show
distinguished.
Ours and it's like, no, that's not going to work.
And you should know that her brothers did not want her to marry Alvin at first, right? Because
no.
they were like, he doesn't even
that's,
sing.
That's another whole story. Exactly. I had seven older brothers. That's another whole testimony. But he was very secure.
Security.
In who he was. Mm-hmm. And you know, whenever whoever's in the light and in the light and in the public, they get all the attention, and sometimes your other half can get pushed aside and disrespected and all that incredible stuff that he has taken with a smile all these years. But it's because he was solid in who he was. People would call him sometimes Mr. Winans.
Of course.
You know?
I bet, yeah.
And it's like, well, no, that's not his name.
Yeah.
but he could take it, you know. He loved me well, but he understood that he was my covering. He understood that no matter where God took me, it did not diminish him. Mm-hmm. If anything, it brought him along with me. We were one. Mm-hmm. And so because he was solid, he was a man of God, he understood the importance of him praying for me, him covering me, him making those sacrifices. It wasn't just about me, but it was for the kingdom of God. And then we had a lot of great help. He was not a Mr. Moms. Now, don't get this thing twisted.
Right.
He could not. I remember one day I was out of town, and I think he attempted to do my daughter's hair. And she was fine until she walked past the mirror. She walked past the mirror and just broke out crying. So I always had great help. My mother was there when they were small, when we all lived in Detroit. My mother-in-law was there, my sister. So they all, it was a team effort. It was a family effort. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I went out of town, I made sure they were taken care of. I made sure they had meals. Mm-hmm. I made sure that somebody was there to take them to school. So my husband could really continue the pattern and the routine he was used to. You know, because he worked a full-time job and he was there for them when they got home from school. And so I made sure that the home was in place.
You managed it.
I managed it, even if I wasn't there. I managed it to make sure that they had probably more than what they would have if I was there. My kids really end up getting spoiled more because I was away.
Okay. How do you keep from feeling displaced as the mother? Because, you know, our moms, my mom, my grandmother, they didn't have no help. You know, they had meals hot on the table and all the laundry was folded and everything. I mean, I just don't know to this day how my mother made a Sunday dinner, that huge Sunday spread she made every week. And it was all hot at the same time with one oven. I just can't.
One oven.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
I have one oven and I cannot for the life of me figure out how to get everything hot on the table. So they did all the stuff and they seemed to do it without the help.
That's right. They did it.
So
they did do it without the help.
They did do it. So how do you feel, how do you keep yourself, or how did you keep yourself when your children were smaller, from feeling that sense of guilt that sometimes mom feel when they need help and they've got to ask, you know, they've got to hire somebody once a week or once every other week to come help them clean, or sometimes they feel bad about
that. Well, I don't think I ever felt guilty for hiring help. I don't think I ever felt guilty for that.
Did you just give us permission? Should we all go home with permission from CC
Wyman to
get help?
Yes, you have permission for me to lose the guilt and get the help.
Praise the Lord. Worth this whole interview for me.
No, because, you know, before I could hire help, you know, I did those things.
Of course. When
I was home, I cooked, I cleaned, I folded the clothes. You know, like you said, my mom had, I only have two. I call them Alpha and Omega. You know, my mom had 10 kids. She had seven boys straight, three girls. She worked outside the home. She cooked.
Did y'all do a lot of
she
the
did
work
all
around
that.
The home?
Oh, yeah. You know, you start training those kids when they're young for everybody to help out. You babysit this one, you help this one, you know, and when you have an army like that, you can do that. And so I did those things, but when I realized that, you know, I was going to be gone, or I always had certain people to come in and help, and I didn't feel guilty about that at all because, you know, I was there. I was the mom. I was the wife. I'm going to spend the time. And the good thing about what we do or what I did, you know, when I'm gone, I'm gone. But when I'm home, I'm home. Mm-hmm. I didn't work a regular job. Mm-hmm. So if I wasn't on tour, I was home. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to take them to school and pick them up and go to the things. It's just those certain times. And then I would limit the times I would be away from home. You know, I wouldn't go out. Well, we have a month tour. Well, no, I can't do that. I have kids.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Or you traveled with them. I know you took them with them.
Yeah, when they got to a certain age, I took them out of school and I put them in homeschool, hired somebody to teach them. And they were on the road with me, my husband, my children, all of us was out on the road. Mm-hmm. And so family always remained first. And if that meant all of us going out on tour, we would do that. If that meant hiring help, you know, to make sure everything was in place, that's what we did, you know. But I cannot exclude the most important thing, and that is always staying prayed up,
mm-hmm.
always
mm-hmm.
allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of times we try to figure everything out on our own, and we can't.
Yeah, we want a formula, and it's like the Holy Spirit has to lead you what's good for your family.
Yes, and for each child.
Yeah.
You know, every child is different. You know, for your husband, to minister to your husband in the right way. You have to pray. You have to
pray. And don't you think that we give each other as moms such a hard time? Yes. That if you're, what's best for your family mm-hmm. does not look like what I'm doing with my family.
Yes.
That sometimes we make each other feel so bad because we just cast this judgment on the way she's mothering her family.
Exactly.
Or that she's not homeschooling, or she is homeschooling.
Yes.
Or she travels a little bit, or she
right.
works outside of the home.
Mm-hmm.
Or she has someone to help her.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't she do it herself? I think
right.
we give each other a hard time.
I think we give each other a hard time, but more so than that, I think we're so hard on ourselves.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And God never expected us to do everything perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But just according to His way.
Yeah.
And that's real. Everybody's perfect looks different.
Yeah.
You know, perfection is you being submitted to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And a lot of times perfection looks so far from perfection.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you're submitted to the Holy Spirit and you're loving according to how the Word teaches us how to love, and you're including Him in all your plans. You know, I had to depend on that Word. The Bible said, if you acknowledge Me in all our ways, He'll direct your path. I had to depend mm-hmm. on that. Lord, look, I acknowledged You, and this is what I'm feeling in my spirit. This has got to be You, you
yeah.
know. And as you walk out in that daily, you begin to trust, and you begin to mm-hmm. really learn the Holy Spirit, the voice
like
of the Holy Spirit.
It's kind of like you have to say, okay, Lord, I will take care of Your business,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to trust You to take care of my business.
That's right.
I'll do my part, Lord. I'm going to ask You to do Your part.
Right.
And you know what? To all you're saying about prioritizing family, I have to tell you that I remember, and I've told Cece this before, but I remember being 14 years old, some kind of way after she and her brother BB mm-hmm. had done a concert. We ended up at dinner together at the host's house, whoever the host was of this particular event. And Cece's kids were little.
Really little.
Really yeah. little. And I remember, you know, here I am, a teenager, and Cece Winans is in the house. And I was just like, you know, watching everything. I was just so excited to be there. And these folks were trying to treat her like a celebrity, and, oh, Cece Winans is here, and they wanted her to come in a certain room with just the adults. And I will never forget watching her, because she just wouldn't have it. She wouldn't have anybody treating her like a celebrity,
mm-hmm.
and she was going to mother her kids. They wanted to kind of put the kids off to the side so they could just be with Cece and BB. Mm-mm, you were with those kids.
Right.
And I will never forget seeing that
awesome.
At 14 years old and seeing you prioritize
wow.
being their mom and not letting them feel pushed off to the side.
Wow.
And some of the decisions that Jerry and I have made as parents now, and as people that have to travel a lot and we're
mm-hmm.
in ministry and stuff, some of those decisions I literally go back in my head to what I saw happen that day when I was 14.
Wow.
And that's really helped to kind of govern decisions that we make in parenting.
Praise
so it's
God.
Like you never know who's watching.
You never know.
You know,
watching.
And the imprint that it makes on their life.
That's right.
So
pretty
thank you
awesome.
For prioritizing your family.
You got it. You got it. Thank you.
the world for one.
Change the world for one.
Change the world for one.
Orphans don't need stuff. Orphans need families. Join me, Stephen Curtis Chapman, and Show Hope as we help provide orphans with forever families.
Now your children are how old?
Ooh, children. My son is 28, and my daughter is just turned 26.
Can we just say, we cannot believe you have children that are almost 30 years old.
Yes. You I'm have trying to get the them married for- off. I'm praying for it. They're really great kids. They really are. But yeah, I'm looking forward to being a grandma.
I was just going to ask you that. Are
but
you
I got to get them married off first.
That's
We're
right.
to do it according to the word.
That's right.
But yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you feel like as you look forward to this next kind of phase of your life, you talked about your kids getting older and getting married and grandmother and all that. Mm-hmm. Do you want to slow down some? Or do you want to keep on at the pace you've kind of held for the last few years?
Oh, no, I have to slow down.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get signs here and there that I need to slow down.
You know, what are the signs?
Like today, I was in the wrong place. That means I need to stay home, you know?
She showed up for our interview, for those of you who are watching, she showed up for our interview at the wrong studio. So we had to call her and redirect her
See,
path here.
That's a sign. When you start getting signs like that, it's like, okay, you know, it's time for you to slow down.
But you made it. You're here.
I made it. But yeah, I look forward to slowing down. I think I will always, as long as I can sing, I will always sing and lift up a praise unto the Lord. But I think it'll look differently. It's already starting to change. I don't travel as much as I used to travel. But I still go quite a mm-hmm. bit.
Well, I know you're traveling with Women of Faith bit some.
And, yeah.
And
yeah.
That you enjoy that. And you've got other things that you're doing as well. Are you mm-hmm. you have any new projects coming out?
Yes,
that we
yes,
need to know
yes,
about.
It's coming out probably in spring 2014.
Perfect.
Yes, if I stay on this schedule I'm supposed to be on. If it's a little later, just forgive me, but it's coming. It's coming. Yeah, I'm really excited about it, though.
I want to ask you, though, before we end this time together, I want to ask you about the balance of faith and fame. Mm. How do you keep that equilibrium? How have you kept that equilibrium? Because we see so many folks that kind of lose their integrity
yeah.
or lose their humility along the way somewhere. It all kind of gets lost in there. And you are, and people like you, are really a breath of fresh air that mm. we just know that you just are the same person you were two decades ago mm-hmm. and you still have mm-hmm. the same, not just message when the lights are on, mm-hmm. but when you're in the quiet and nobody's looking, you just are who you are.
Yeah.
How do you think you've been able to maintain that? What keeps that steady in your life?
Well, I think a lot of things go into that. I think, again, I go back to my parents mm-hmm. who raised us in the church, but also raised us in a way that we understood what ministry was all about. And we understood that whatever platform God gave us was not about us, but it was about Him. They taught us the importance of home church. You know, a lot of times you ask a lot of believers, do you belong anywhere? Are you planted anywhere? Are you submitted
yes.
to somebody's leadership?
And they're not.
And a lot of people yeah. aren't. And you just can't make it that way.
No. Yeah.
It wasn't designed for us to make it that way. And so it was real important that if I, you know, went out and received an award of some sort, that I came back home and I was planted and I heard the word and I understood, oh, flesh has to die every day.
Yes.
Or you come off a stage and you have a baby and, you know, everybody else was just, and you get your baby and they throw up on you. It's like, this
That'll
is
keep
humility.
You grounded.
Yes, this is great humility class.
You
right
guys started
here.
A church, didn't you?
We did.
You and your husband.
Yeah, we just started a church probably about a year and a half ago. So that's
so you have
another
something
whole
else to
thing.
Balance.
Yes.
Now you're a pastor's wife on top of it all.
Yes. And so when you say balancing faith and fame, your faith just has to be the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Keep it prioritized.
It
as the center.
It goes back to priority. Yeah. If you keep your relationship with the Lord first, then everything else will fall into the right place. Mm-hmm. Once you let anything else come before that, then it's going to be out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start believing your press. When it's good, you start believing when it's bad. And then you're happy today and you're depressed tomorrow and you're happy Wednesday and you're depressed Friday. But when you stay plugged in, then you're able to live a life like this, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so. Personal question. You can tell me that you don't want to answer it if you don't want to answer it.
Oh, Lord, here we go, Priscilla.
But it is leading somewhere, okay?
It is leading somewhere, okay.
How old are you?
Oh, that's no problem.
Oh, you can answer that. Okay,
actually, I'm about to have a birthday.
Are you?
Yes, I'm turning 49.
Turning 49,
yes,
okay.
So I'll be the big 50 next year.
Okay,
right.
All right.
Right.
49. Now, the reason I asked you that question is because there is something that I've heard happens in your 40s. So I'm 10 years younger than you, okay?
Oh, Lord, okay, yeah.
I've heard that in your 40s, you kind of settle into this, you know, I am who I am. I feel free to be who I am. I don't need to impress anybody anymore.
Yes.
I'm not worried about what y'all think about me.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if that happened for you before 40, because you're so comfortable in your own skin.
Right.
We've seen you be comfortable in your own skin for a long time. Did you ever go through a season when you were kind of wrapped up in, I mean, you know, being in front of people has been your life.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to grow up or mature in this area of not needing to get the applause, or not that you ever needed it or wanted it, but you just... You're okay. You're just okay with who you are, the way you look, just satisfied and settled.
Yes. Well, you grow into that. You grow into that. I mean, as a young artist, again, I started out as a kid, you know, 16, 17 years old. And so you're always, I don't think I was ever to the point where I had anxiety attacks or anything like that. But as you get older, you definitely get wiser and you definitely begin to appreciate all the things that maybe you didn't appreciate when you were younger.
Yeah.
You begin to see the beauty in the life that you have and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a great thing about getting older.
Yeah.
Yeah. You understand that, I got it going on. If nobody else thinks that. Because again, that comes from the Lord as well.
Yeah.
Your peace, your happiness, your joy, your appreciation.
Yeah.
You know, when you get older, the things that you used to worry about, it's like, really? I used to get uptight about that?
Yeah.
Even in your marriage, you know, as you grow in your marriage, the things you used to fall out about, oh, God, all the emotional roller coasters. I used to get tired of myself. I knew my husband had to be tired of me. Because I'm like, what you crying about now? I don't know. I don't know why I'm crying.
So things just don't matter that much. Some of that stuff doesn't matter that much anymore.
No, you realize that it's not important at all.
So should those of us who are in our 20s and our 30s look forward to...
Chill out now.
Yeah,
you can have that now. I don't think you have to wait
till
you get older. I think a lot of us have because we probably didn't listen to those that went on before us. But if you listen to me now...
Okay, we're listening.
You could chill out now.
You
could be cool right now. Yeah.
Just let it go.
Just let it go.
So in hindsight, looking back on 2 decades in ministry and as a wife and as a mom,
mm-hmm.
other than chill out now,
mm-hmm.
what would you say you would have maybe done differently?
I would have chilled out earlier.
Yep.
Differently. I would have consulted the Holy Spirit more.
Mm-hmm.
I think as women, as mothers, as wives, we kind of fall into doing what we saw other people do, you know?
And it's just the way
I love my
mom.
She's an incredible woman of God, incredible role model. I only pray that I could be half as great as what she is, but everybody's different. Your life is, we are really all unique.
Yeah.
You know, and so I did a lot of things just because they did it that way.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what, if I would have consulted the Holy Spirit and really prayed over every decision, I wouldn't have gone through the suffering that I went through, you know.
So it's like you have to give yourself permission to just walk your own
path
and be who God has called you to be.
Perfect. Yes, that's
Thank
the way.
You.
Yeah.
That frees us up, doesn't it? Frees us up. Miss Cece is a wonderful gift, not just to the church, not just to the body of Christ, but millions and millions and millions of people have been blessed by our music, and we are so blessed to have had her here with us today. We are going to have a part 2 to this conversation because she cares passionately about the next generation of men and women. And so we're going to talk to her about what's encouraging her and discouraging her about what she's seeing in the next generation and how she thinks that she can help and that we can help. So join us for part 2, but thank her for being here for part 1, please. so glad that you were here. I'm Priscilla. Welcome to the chat. We get an opportunity to chat about a lot of stuff around here that's going to be hopefully very, very exciting to you. I think today is going to be very exciting. If it's not exciting for you, it's exciting for me. I'm glad to be here because we get to talk to one of my favorite people on the planet. And let me just tell you, she's not only my favorite because she has brought so much light and love and beauty through music to millions of people all over the entire world. She's beautiful because behind closed doors, when the spotlights aren't on her, she's just a woman of humility and integrity who loves her family and loves the Lord and really believes what she proclaims when a lot of people are around. That's what I love about CC Woman. Today we're going to be talking to her. Stick around. You are not going to want to miss it. Welcome to the chat. Pull up a chair, get a nice hot drink or something like that, and just kind of snuggle up with us for just a little while. We've been already having a conversation that I hope that you've already seen. It's part one of a conversation we've been having with the lovely Miss CC Winans. Will you help me welcome her?
Thank you.
If you have not already seen part one, please make sure that you see it. We're on every Tuesday and Thursday this month. This is part two of that conversation we've already been having. She's been giving us advice on being a wife and being a mom, balancing it all, loving the Lord with all of our hearts and minds and strength. And we want to talk to her now about the next generation because she's got a passion for the next generation. Why is that so important to you?
Why? Because it was so important that the generation before me had me in mind, you know, and I know that I've been able to stand through all of life challenges because of what was instilled in me as a child. The importance of Sunday school, the importance of hearing the Bible stories, the importance of camp, Christian camp, all of that stuff. Played a very important part in my foundation. And I think I realized who I was earlier on in life because people took out time to teach me who I was.
And so, these are people, your parents included, but would you say that there were other older women other than your parents?
Definitely. I think any parent that has been a parent for any length of time understands that you need help.
Yeah.
You know, and
that
so
whole village mentality.
Exactly. It takes a village to raise a child is so true. And so, yes, definitely the people in the church, the other ladies, the other young women, the teenagers. I mean, people, everybody poured into us, me and my siblings growing up, and it made a huge difference.
Don't you think we've lost that village mentality, though? It's like everybody, you almost can get in trouble if you tell another child, hey, you know what, don't talk to your parent like that. Be more respectful. Then the mama's mad at you because you said something.
Kids. And you're helping out.
Yeah,
we have lost it, but we need to get back to it. I think a lot of our kids are suffering because we've lost that.
And do you think that maybe, you know, I've always thought that maybe that is one of the reasons why the church is so important, because that is the extended family that God gives you to help to raise the next generation.
Totally agree. It is definitely our extended family. And it's so important that the church realizes that even though we have mega churches, and that's a great thing because we want everybody to be saved, you know, Jesus paid the price so that everybody could live, but it is not to be anything other than a family. And it's real important that we understand that it's not just an organization or it's just not
it's not a business.
Yeah, it's not a business. It's a family.
Yeah, we're not there to perform.
Right.
It's for us to have community.
Yeah, to have
that's
community.
Good. Yeah. What are some of the things you would think that, well, you know, you mentioned that your mama made you sing.
Yeah.
Mom and Pop whined and said, get up there on
get
that
up there.
Stage.
You're going to sing.
Did you have to take piano lessons too, I wonder?
No, I didn't. I never took piano lessons.
You never took piano?
I think every other sibling except for my baby sister, you know, Debbie, we don't play.
You don't play. I'm surprised they didn't make you do that too.
We can't play at all. No. Well, you know, actually all of us at that time, we weren't even taking lessons.
Okay.
Most of my siblings learned how to play by ear.
Just a musical family.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom and dad both played.
Really?
But the gift just passed my hands.
That's okay. It all went into your throat. Okay, so they made you do certain things. They made your siblings do certain things.
Definitely.
What do you think are some of the things that parents aren't making their kids do anymore?
Well, they made us go to church.
Okay, there's one of them.
We had to be at Sunday school. We had to, you know, YPWW, the youth things. We had to attend. They made us not just attend, but we had to be involved. Like you said, we had to be in the choirs. And, they made us volunteer for everything, you know. Mm-hmm. But they understood the importance of that. And they raised us all in the inner city of Detroit, Michigan. Which was not an easy task. Mm-hmm. So they made us do that. Let me see. The only thing we could listen to in our house was Christian music. We used to sneak and listen to Motown music in the car, you know. But they said, no, this is what we're going. You guys are going to be raised in this. You're going to hear this. And then they lived the life in front of us. You know, they just didn't teach us, but they lived it in front of us, which was definitely the most impactful thing. But yeah, they did not play. We had no choices.
Your parents were strict.
Very strict. Yeah. Very strict. But not to the point where it was too strict. But they were strict. Yeah.
We've lost some of that, I think.
Oh, we've lost a lot
of that.
I
feel like children are setting the pace for the home instead of the parents setting the pace for the home. And not, you know, I just don't want to put that as a blanket statement over everyone, but it seems like we have a culture where
You know, I'm guilty of that. And, you know, a lot of times we grow up and we feel like, oh, they were so strict in this and so strict in that, especially before you get old enough to really, the wisdom kicks in.
Yeah, right.
You think, oh, I'm allowing my children to do this and they can choose if they do that. And I have to admit that those places that I was a little bit more easy, those places that I kind of loosened the rein a little bit, I regret.
Oh, with your kids?
Oh, definitely.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, can you give us one example? Can you think of anything specific where you kind of loosened the reins a little bit and you wish that you hadn't? Anything come to mind?
I mean, I just think, I mean, if we just take them going to church, I mean, I made mine go to church, but I didn't make them really get involved in church. Mm-hmm. You know?
So not just being there, but participating.
Exactly, participating. Because nowadays, I mean, what do we spend most of our time doing, parents? Where they're in dance class, they have this class, they're in all the sports. And where is the Bible study in all of this? You know, and before you know it, they're full of more of the world than the church, but yet you're a believer. Yet you consider yourself a strong believer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where did I go wrong? Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't do what your parents did in this area. You thought you were going to be more of their friend than their parent. Yeah. And it's backfiring on you.
So do you think that we tend to overcompensate for what we thought our parents didn't do right or did a little bit wrong? Mm-hmm. Kind of overcompensate the other way.
So if
you had to go back and do that again with your children, you would be stricter.
Oh, definitely.
Really?
They would be upset with me. But it would be okay.
It would be okay.
Yes.
So we need to be okay with our kids being upset with us.
Definitely. If they're not, something's wrong. They should be upset with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What discourages you when you look at teenage girls, young 20s, maybe even young women who want to do what you were doing? So they have a good heart, they are skilled, they're talented, they love the Lord, but still you see a little discouragement in what way with some of the younger women you see coming along after you?
I would say that they don't have the passion just for knowing the Lord. Growing up, to me, that was everything. I could cry thinking about it. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to make it through. And so that breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. They don't really understand the value in just being a believer. Mm-hmm. You know, for some reason, that doesn't seem to be enough. And so that lets me know that they don't have the relationship that they should have, because whenever you have that relationship in the place that it should be, it's more than enough.
And it takes the striving out, the trying to achieve.
Yes, it takes, it makes life so much better.
Yeah,
so much easier.
You can relax and rest in it.
Yes, you can. You can, and you can have joy. And when they don't have that, they're missing joy. They're missing happiness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're so bogged down, and they're dealing with so much depression. And it's hard to find people with a smile on their face. Mm-hmm. I mean, young girls, that when they should be enjoying their lives at the fullest at this time, a lot of sadness.
What encourages you when you look at young women?
You.
Oh, thank you. Am I still young? I'll take that.
You're very young, yes, but I could cry over that too. Like we talked about earlier in part one, I have a daughter that's 26, and for her to be able to see you is a blessing.
Oh, yeah. That's a gift to me because I just remember her being so little and running around your legs, and so to hear that is a blessing to me. That's kind of like my gift to you. To be able to be a blessing in your daughter's life.
See,
I love
and so it just goes from
it's
generation
a cycle, isn't it?
To generation. Yes, it is a cycle.
Change the world for one.
Change the world for one.
Change the world for one.
Orphans don't need stuff. Orphans need families. Join me, Stephen Curtis Chapman, and Show Hope as we help provide orphans with forever families.
What makes you, you've told us why you're passionate about pouring into the lives of younger women.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think keeps some women that are in your generation from seeing the value in taking time to just literally disciple a younger woman? Like, there are a lot of older women that aren't doing the Titus II thing.
You're right.
They aren't. You know, Titus II talks about older women pouring into the lives of younger women, which means there has to be a younger woman willing to listen,
That's true.
And being teachable.
Yeah, that's true.
But there also has to be a woman who has gone before that sees the value in going out to coffee with this younger woman and helping her with her family and how to love her husband. And sometimes there aren't women to be found that are willing to do that. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know what? I'm so glad that you brought that point up because it's a very important point. A lot of us as believers, we just become professional believers, you know, and we're so wrapped up in our own lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we go to church, oh, it was so good, or we heard a message, it was so great, and then the next week we're down again, or we forget what we heard. And I think it's primarily because we haven't poured out.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't poured out what we've learned or what God has put into us into somebody else. And I can't really take the credit for the mentoring that I've done over the years. I think because of where God placed me on stage, you know, and I met wonderful ladies like you and different people that would ask me certain questions. Then I started pouring out, but it wasn't like it was something that was really taught to me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we as the body of Christ, the churches, the pastors, we have to begin to teach that scripture in mm-hmm. Titus, that the older women teach the younger women, and the importance of that, because really that adds to your growth.
Yes.
That's a part of your life going to another level that a lot of us are missing out on because we haven't taken out the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we as women, older women, we really need to look at our schedules and say, who am I pouring into?
Mm-hmm.
And realign your whole life to fit that in, because mm-hmm. it's that crucial, not just for somebody else, but for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I love something that you just said a few moments ago. But you said that it was because you weren't, like, trained to be a mentor.
Right.
It's just people started, younger folks just started asking you questions.
Exactly.
So I think that it's kind of like gives permission for younger women to start going, pinpoint an mm-hmm. older woman in your church or in your neighborhood or in your mm-hmm. life that you yep. go, you know what? She has done life well. And then go ask her questions. Go put yourself in front of her and say, how did you do this? How
exactly.
do you make that meal for your family every night and
right.
get it on the table on time? How
right.
do you do that?
How do you do it? Ask questions.
And then that's it stirs right. you up to have to answer them.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
I love that. We
that's
love that
right.
you answer them.
Because when you see those faces in front of you, it's like, oh, okay, okay.
Yes.
You know, you have to do it. And it's a joy. It's yeah. been a joy of mine to do. So I think that all of that plays into what we do today as mm-hmm. well.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about one younger woman in your life. Her name is Bobby Christina.
Yes.
She has had a lot happening in the past few years of her life with the yeah. loss of one of your closest friends. Mm-hmm. I know, Miss Whitney Houston.
Yes.
Tell me first how that was for you, just that tragic loss of a legend. And then how you've been able, because you're her godmother, Bobby Christina's
yes.
godmother,
uh-huh.
right?
Uh-huh.
So what kind of role that you kind of play in her life now?
Just praying a lot.
Yeah.
Praying for her. It was just what you said. It was a tragic loss for me. And I can't even imagine what it was for Bobby Christina. You know, we were dear friends and sisters, Whitney and I. And I talked to her that week before she passed. And I was just calling to check on her. And she was on her way to California. And so I got the news from my daughter. She was in New York visiting a friend and saw it on the press. Saw it in the press and called me crying and, Mom, is it true? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I just told her, no, it couldn't be true. I just talked to her, you know. And unfortunately, I found out it was true. And so, yeah, it was a real, real loss for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I didn't plan for things to turn out this way.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but God has been faithful through it all. You know, and so now my prayer for Bobby Christina is just that God will begin to mend her broken heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I just want everybody, every woman out there to just really begin to pray
mm-hmm.
for her. Yeah.
Meanwhile, you have an organization that is designed to reach out to the younger generation. And we've been talking a lot about women, younger women, but also to young men
yes.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about that organization and how it got started and what you're doing with it these days.
Well, it's called Always Sisters, Forever Brothers. And it started out really as Always Sisters. It was just for teenage girls. And after the first conference, the mother was like, what are you going to do for our sons? I was like, I don't know.
Nothing.
But I have a son and a daughter. And so we did a couple of years with just the girls, and then we added on the guys as well. Because then I figured out, you know, we can't just get the girls together and we don't have the guys together. And so it's been a joy of mine to do this. And it's just a conference we do, like a two-day conference. And I bring in incredible speakers and singers to mentor, to teach people, to teach the younger people. And it's been great. Lives have been saved. Lives have been changed and redirected. And kids have been put on the right path. They understand their value, you know, after leaving the conference. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's really my prayer, is that it would be an event that would really bring in lasting results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that we're going to put her website up so that you can see it right there on the page that you're watching this program. But you'll want to go to alwayssistersforeverbrothers.com.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go there because you can support that ministry that really is reaching out to the next generation and just be a part of what Miss Cece is doing in blessing people that are coming along behind her. And so are these people that are necessarily interested in music, or this is not for folks that are involved in music?
No, this is for everybody.
Okay.
Definitely a lot of people show up that love music. But, I mean, we've had kids to come and tell us, this is my last resort.
Mm.
If this doesn't work, then I'm committing suicide.
I mean,
yeah, just that bold. And I'm happy to say that God is faithful
yeah.
every time,
yeah.
you know. And so yeah, literally saving lives. Yeah, so it's just for any child who wants to come.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids are doing great, and it's just going to encourage them to continue to serve God. Some kids come in, have never heard a sermon before in their life,
mm-hmm.
and they end up giving their lives to the Lord. And so it's been amazing.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
very
good.
Rewarding.
What would you say was the number one most impactful lesson that an older woman in your life taught you, other than your relationship with the Lord. That being aside, we know that would be the most important. But like a practical lesson that really mattered to you, maybe once you got into your 20s or maybe you got married or had a kid and you were like, oh, yes, I remember what this woman told me. It really has made a difference.
It's so funny. You guys are going to laugh. It would have to be my mom.
Okay.
My mom taught me this lesson. And to this day, no matter who you are or what you're going through, if it's a marital problem, and you come to her, and you could be so emotional and so distraught.
Okay.
Her response is going to be, honey, he's a man.
What does she mean by that exactly?
He's a man.
He's a man.
Yeah, you know, and for me, it was, you know, as women, we love to turn our husbands into what we think they should be. Uh-huh. We want them to be like us.
Yep.
And that's not God's plan, and it will never happen that way. Uh-huh. You know, they're going to respond differently, and they're supposed to.
Okay, single women, listen up. I hope you are listening right now.
So the way mom whining, right she'll now. Be just as cool no matter what it is. Mom, but you don't understand. Honey, he's a man.
So no matter what the issue is.
No matter what the issue is, calm down. Choose to be peaceful. Mm-hmm. Choose to be victorious and choose to allow the Lord to work it out because we can go through all the fits and all the emotional ups and downs, and it's not going to change anything.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that is a lesson for single women
because that's a huge
the man
lesson.
That single you married right now.
And married, yes.
You're not going to say I do, and then there's a magical change on the other side of it. These just, that's who
that's
he is. And
who
people
it is.
Grow and mature
that's
and all
of
that
course.
Stuff.
But of course, we all improve.
Yes,
right.
But the basic framework is right there.
It's right there, yeah.
That's just a minute. Okay, I've got something else for you. Your sister told me of something that your father used to tell you guys. And I actually wrote this down because I'm like, this is good. And my husband actually said it to somebody this week. I was like, yeah, we're going to use that. He said, anytime y'all would all get off stage or anything and you'd been singing or anything, he, you know, people were saying how wonderful you are. You already know what I'm going to say?
I think I do.
He would come up behind you and say, get that praise off of you. That praise don't belong to you.
Exactly.
I love that, though.
It doesn't
belong
to you.
It's just constantly reminding you that praise is not yours.
It's not yours. It's not
yours. That praise
belongs
to you.
And another saying he used to tell us is that if you got prideful, you know, you're going to go down like the Titanic.
Oh, if you get prideful, you're going down like the Titanic.
After pride comes a fall.
That's good.
And so, yeah, get the praise off of you. Yeah, you're right. It's not about you. Yeah, he kept us balanced.
He kept you balanced. Mm-hmm. What is your last question? Well, maybe a couple more.
No, that's okay.
What is your, I don't know any other way to put it. Someone from the audience asked me about this one. What is your life song? Like, not necessarily a particular
a song
that is on a record of yours, but what is the theme of your heart? Or maybe it is the name of a song that really encapsulates all that matters most to you.
He's faithful.
He's faithful.
Yeah.
He is faithful.
God is faithful. He's just been faithful. Every stage of my life, he's been faithful.
Yeah.
Throughout all my failures, he's been faithful.
And that is a song you recorded, isn't it?
I didn't record. Somebody else recorded it.
Do you know it?
Called He's Been Faithful.
Yes. Do you
he's
know
He's Been Faithful.
See, just sing a
something
little bit
like
of
that.
It.
No. Just sing. Come on. No, I really don't.
Sing a little bit of
don't
it.
Don't even try it. Don't even try it.
Okay. Pick any song and sing a little bit of it.
Okay.
Sing a little bit of it. Come on now.
Oh, God.
Just a little piece,
only
a couple
Priscilla
of bars.
Is. Watch the people you mentor. Watch them. Let me see. You got to sing with me. I don't want to mess up. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
That's what we were waiting on. We love that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I love that you came and sat down on our sofa and just let us pick your brain a little bit.
I got a chance to chat with Priscilla.
Yes. I'm so grateful to you. And
love
again,
you.
I want to direct you to her website because you're going to want to find out all the Miss Cece is doing. Of course, you can catch her singing in different places, various places all over the world. And you'll want to make sure you continue to support her ministry. There are very few people that have had this much longevity. I mean, when you think about it, sometimes some people are kind of like one-hit wonders and they've got this song that maybe lasts a little while. But there are very few people that you can see over decades have continued to be just who they are in the body of Christ and who they are in their craft. She's just skilled in her craft. And so we're so grateful that she's come and been with us today. Thank you for joining us too. It's been so much fun. Would you please help me to thank Miss Cece Whiting?